Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my delight to have you join with us by way of this radio broadcast. We come to you each day, giving you the opportunity to join in the dialogue and the discussion. It's a Q&A program. You can ask questions. We can give answers. We'd be delighted to have you to join in the discussion today. It's an imperative discussion, one that I believe every Christian in particular needs to listen up and hear well. Recognize and understand that if you want to join in this dialogue and discussion, all you need to do is dial 401-1413. 904-401-1413 gets you straight through to the studios and right to the microphone so that we can have a wonderful discussion and dialogue on this subject that we'll be discussing today. We're going to be talking about today, it's a question in a question form, are you in a progressive church? Are you in a progressive church? But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue and the dialogue and discussion on that issue, let me remind you that when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I find it a little unsettling that so many people today will argue a point, debate an issue, or have discussion on an issue without having a solid foundation on the rationale behind their arguments and their discussion. Many times, it's simply irrational, circular reasoning. So we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus made a profound statement in John 17:17, where he said, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we can discuss issues, when we confront issues and talk about them on this broadcast, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. So I want us to understand that there is a solid rationale, a biblical imperative for Christians to be able to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. Lest we know the Word of God, lest we study and meditate on the Word, it will be an impossibility to confront false theology, false doctrine, and false teachers. And that's a central focus of this broadcast today. And time not allowing, we are perhaps carried over to another second portion of this, but we'll see. We're going to be talking about today, are you in a progressive church? By way of introduction, let me just say, I believe that everyone under the sound of my voice, perhaps you've heard the term progressive when it comes to political issues, political circles. The term is used to cause a political issue or a political position to be viewed as positive. If you say, I'm a progressive, that sounds like, well, I'm ahead of you because I'm a progressive. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the term progressive is a new term that started back in the late 80s and has come forward, and it simply replaces the term liberalism, liberalism in political issues. It is designed to cause one to embrace or to accept or to believe what is found in these areas of political irrationality, as I call it. With the progressive political speaking and the political agenda in the progressives, let me just give you a few little things. And it's important for you to understand the what is viewed in the progressive political arena. And then we're going to make a fast forward and how that is viewed in the conservative or in the Christian or religious arena in our churches today. In the political progressive movement today, homosexuality is embraced, abortion is embraced, recreational drug use is embraced, gambling is okay, acceptance of the LGBTQ movement is all right, acceptance of the Planned Parenthood murder of babies in the womb is okay. Generally open borders and generally free education and free medical, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the progressive. You can today call it progressive / socialist Democrats. But may I remind us, and so much more is embraced in what I call the political ideological position called progressivism. But do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that our churches across denominational lines are being diluted into progressive Christianity? Perhaps you'll ask the question, what are some of the signs? Just how can I recognize what you're calling progressive Christianity or progressive churches or progressive Christians? Just what should you look for to determine that you're in a progressive church or that your church is leaning toward progressivism? Ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you from Wikipedia for whatever that's worth. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in Wikipedia, but I've studied their analysis and their, if you please, a description of what is called progressive Christianity. And this is, in a nutshell, emphasizes salvation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, are you in a progressive church? What I'm wanting to do is set the stage, give you some definitions of a progressive church as found in several sources. Then we're going to look at what progressivism in the church means today. It emphasizes salvation here and now instead of primarily in heaven sometimes later. Emphasizes being saved for robust, abundant, eternal life over being saved from hell. It emphasizes the social, communal aspects of salvation instead of merely the personal. It stresses social justice as an integral part of Christianity and Christian discipleship. Takes the Bible seriously, but not necessarily literally. You hear what I'm saying? Not necessarily literally. Embracing a more imperative, metaphorical understanding and emphasizes right action over right beliefs. Embraces reason as well as paradox and mystery. Instead of blind allegiance to the rigid doctrines of the Bible and the dogmas therein, does not consider homosexuality to be sinful, does not claim that Christianity is the only valid and viable way to get to heaven or to connect with God. End quote. Further, this article says, progressive Christians shift the emphasis from belief to the contemplative practice of experiential faith. Simply put, ladies and gentlemen, in the progressive Christianity today, the Bible is discounted. There is no dogma in doctrine. There is no recognition of absolutes in the Scripture. And everything is based on how I feel about something, what I think about something. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very careful because the Bible is very clear in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and following. Preach the word. Be answered in season and out of season, and reprove, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and may I insert today, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come, when they will not endure sound doctrine, that is sound, healthy, true teaching, but after their own lust, their own desires, their own cravings, shall heap to themselves, that's accumulate to themselves, teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto mythology, fictitious, fables, not fact, but fiction. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are today in so much of what is called Christianity. Our churches today have gone the way of the world. Our churches today are more about entertainment. Ask the question, are you in a church where there's a constant focus on entertainment? I had someone tell me recently in a church here in our city in Jacksonville that a professional wrestler to come in, did a wrestling presentation on the platform, but he talked about how much he loved Jesus, and everyone filled the sanctuary because they wanted to see the wrestling on the platform. That's entertainment. Entertainment, ladies and gentlemen, today in most of the progressive churches have displaced the fact of the gospel. Displace the truth of the Word of God. Just what should we look for to determine if you're in a progressive church today? Just what are some of the signals and signs of that? Here's a brief article, and I'll just read their preamble or their prologue or introduction to it. And this person says, 5 years ago, my husband and I began attending a local evangelical non-denominational church. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's usually a pretty good signal for me. When you say non-denominational, are you ashamed of what the doctrines tell us? In fact, I've said many times, when you drive across America, if you're on a vacation, you're traveling, if you see the golden arches, you know what to expect behind those doors. If you see the king, which is symbol of Burger King, you know what to find behind those doors. If you see the sign that says Cracker Barrel, you know what they're serving behind the doors. But if you just simply see a sign that says restaurant, would you stop? Not knowing what's behind the doors, not knowing whether it's a greasy spoon or if it's going to give you poison of some type. I wouldn't. And yet, that's what we're expecting today with our churches. This article again says, several years ago, my husband and I began attending a local evangelical non-denominational church, and we loved it. We cherished the sense of community. We found among them loving, authentic people that we met there, and they were intelligent. Outside the box, the pastor who led our flock with thought-provoking and insightful sermons, but sadly, the church started going off the rails theologically. And after about a year and a half, we made the difficult decision to leave. Today, that church is self-titled Progressive Christian Community. Self-titled Progressive Christian Community. Now, the question begs to be asked, ladies and gentlemen, what does that mean with the title of the church being Progressive Christian Community? What does it connote? What's behind the doors? What can you expect? And ladies and gentlemen, that's the thing that is so frightening to me when we see the church going the way of the world. I want us to look at briefly in our thought discussing issue today, some of the main tenets, some of the main signs, some of the main indicators that you're in a progressive church. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. The bottom line is, when we finish this broadcast today, and I pray that you're internalizing what I'm begging you to listen to and understand. And if you're in a church that is this type church, I beg you, I plead with you, if you're saved, get out and get in a church where the Word of God is proclaimed without fault, without finding error, and without any caveats about the Word of God. God wants us to know His Word. I've asked people before, we've got a big old thick Bible. What's the purpose if you're just simply going to know the verse in John 15:17 that we're to love our neighbor? What are you going to do if all you know is John 3:16? How do you understand what God is saying to man? God's word is to be proclaimed and inculcated in our lives as believers. But I want us to look at several things in just a moment in relationship to the progressive church. But ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I want us to understand the progressive church is also understood in many academic theological terms as being the emergent church. That's E-M-E-R-G-E-N-T, the emergent church, or the church that's coming out, if you will. Let me just read you a blurb or two from my introductory remarks. I teach an entire semester course in the university on the subject, the emergent church, or what is called modern ecclesiology. And this is what I say in some of my words of introduction to the students when I teach this in the academic classroom setting. The Bible, the Word of God, is being assaulted as never before. Satan is on the move. Biblical truths are being replaced by and with a different Jesus, a non-reality of hell, and a diluted eschatology. The emergent church leaders are introducing New Age and mystical Mid-Eastern cultic practices in the church, calling it Christianity for our time. The Bible has no literal meaning in the emergent church. It is to be accepted as mystical with little or no absolutes. Sin and salvation are ideas of the past with no relevance for today. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the absolute thought-provoking question that you need to ask and answer. Part of the emergent church's ideological teachings is that the kingdom of God has come to earth, and the believer is to simply put, to make the world a better place to live, fight poverty, aid the sick, and save the planet. Ladies and gentlemen, that is social justice in a nutshell. Further, I state in my prologue in this course that I teach, the new wave of Christianity experience and the Christian experience is like a tsunami that is approaching and has potential to destroy the very foundations of biblical Christianity. There's no denomination that's immune from these changes. The emergent church is rapidly gaining momentum, gathering in its faith thousands of weak, ignorant, anemic, immature infant Christians, as well as non-believers and homosexuals that are intrigued with the music and the modern feel of the lounge theater approach to ministry today, rather than it called a place of worship. Emergent churches can be found throughout the globe, predominantly in North America, Western Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and Africa. Here's a final thought from my introductory remarks on that semester subject. The predominantly young participants, and that is the 18 to 35-year-old age group known as the millennials, in this movement would rather have presentations based on personal experience rather than biblical absolutes and biblical exposition. The emergent church, the progressive church, rejects any absolutes. They say that the present church, the biblical church, has not made worship relevant to them, nor modern worshipers, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly where we are in our society today. And I'm appalled by the fact that we have so many older adults that because they have family, sons and daughters or relatives or neighbors or someone that they live near that they have been introduced to and asked to go to, or because you have sons and daughters, ladies and gentlemen, that's of the teenage years and they love the rock and roll, no gospel ministry approach, where there's a laid-back, lackadaisical attitude to worship, and it's called just having an experience with God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's destroying the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to look at, as far as we can go with our understanding, that I've got 5, 6, 7 points, and we'll look at them as far as we can, then we'll pick up on it perhaps in another broadcast later this week. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, first and foremost, in the emergent church, in the progressive church, the question that I'm asking you today, are you in a progressive church? Number one, in a progressive church, the Bible is not viewed as the final authority. History of the conservative Christian movement today, the conservative Christian view, and we view as conservative Christians the Bible as being authoritative. Authority from the Bible for all morals and ethics and beliefs, and it sets the standard for life and for our living. Ladies and gentlemen, in the progressive Christianity, in the emergent church, personal beliefs override what the Bible says. Progressive Christianity abandons the doctrines of biblical authority for our lives. Very simply stated, ladies and gentlemen, progressive Christianity is the social justice gospel. It is the social justice gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says about progressive Christianity. Progressive Christianity is a post-liberal movement with Christianity that seeks to reform the faith via the insights of postmodernism and reclaiming the truth beyond the verifiable historicity and absolute of the passages in the Bible by affirming that truths within the stories that may not have actually happened, as the progressive Christians call it. In fact, progressive Christianity represents a postmodern theological approach and is not necessarily synonymous with progressive politics, but it is identical in many areas. It developed out of the liberal Christianity and the modern era, which was rooted in the Enlightenment thinking, end quote. Further, this article says, progressive Christianity is characterized by willingness to question all tradition, to question the acceptance of human diversity, and strong emphasis on social justice and care for the poor and the oppressed and the environmental stewardship of the earth. Progressive Christians have a deep belief in the centrality of the instructions of love one another as found in John chapter 5 and verse 15, 17, that is. Ladies and gentlemen, the code of saying love one another becomes the all-encompassing philosophy of the progressive Christian today. Progressive Christianity draws on the insights of multiple theological streams, including evangelicalism, liberalism, neo-orthodoxy, pantheism, postmodernism, progressive reconstructionism, and liberalism in theology in general, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is viewed in the progressive Christian's heart and the Christian church as not having the final authority. On one occasion when I was dealing with a group of young people about, I'm going to say, 20 to 25 years of age, three of them in particular. They happened to visit our church on a Wednesday night. We're in a discussion on a doctrinal, theological issue that is debatable in some of the modern liberal churches today. And after the message was completed, the study was completed, they wanted to challenge me. They came forward, talked personally, and for about 45 minutes, I talked with them. And each time they would ask a question, I'd go back to the Bible. I'd say, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, and point them out to the scripture. And finally, after about 45 minutes, one of the young ladies said, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I feel. I know what I've experienced. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the progressive Christian church today. That is the emergent church today. And that emergent church, the progressive church, the personal beliefs override what the Bible says. Progressive Christianity agenda today abandons the doctrines of biblical authority for our lives. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. If we jettison the Bible, if we abandon the scripture, what do we have as a final authority? It's what I say, or what you say, or what others say, or what this denomination asserts, or what this denomination claims, or what this denomination has as its dogma. Where do we find the final resolution if we jettison the Word of God and abandon the Scripture as the final authority? Secondly, not only, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, are you in a progressive church? In a progressive church, the Bible is not viewed as the final authority. Secondly, feelings rather than facts are emphasized. Feelings rather than facts are emphasized. An individual's feelings and personal experiences and opinions are viewed above objective biblical truth. When the Bible ceases, ladies and gentlemen, to be the definitive, definite, final authority, feelings become more accepted than the facts of the Word of God. May I remind us, some may say, well, the Bible just isn't important in my life. Some might say, I did think that homosexuality was a sin until I met this wonderful person that happens to be gay, and I changed my mind. Some might say, I just don't believe God would send anybody to hell because God loves everybody, and God is such a loving God, He'd never send anybody to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the progressive Christianity today. That's the emergent church today. In fact, in the emergent church, Rob Bell, that wrote his book that's entitled Love Wins, published in 2011, says that love overrides everything else and that hell is not important because hell is a place simply where you'll be punished for a brief while and be out. The Pope has recently said, ladies and gentlemen, in fact, May of this year, that hell doesn't exist. That's in the same category with progressive Christianity, with what is called the emergent church. Number three, ladies and gentlemen, biblical doctrines become open for debate, for discussion, and for reinterpretation. Let me say that again. In the progressive church, in the emergent church, the biblical doctrines, those things that's taught in the scripture, the biblical doctrinal truths in the scripture, become open for debate, open for discussion, open for reinterpretation. Very much like Andy Stanley's view on the Bible, where he says the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant to Christians today. Where Andy Stanley says we must believe science over the Bible when it comes to the question of creation versus evolution. Where Andy Stanley says we must unhitch from the Old Testament. Where Andy Stanley says there is a God of the Old Testament and a different God for the New Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, the proper statement, the proper view, and the statement that is made in relationship to the statement that there is no hell, hell doesn't exist, it's made by the Pope. May I remind us, the Pope also says gays, that is homosexuals, are born that way, and it's not sin. The progressive Christian will debate the issues of abortion. The progressive Christian will say or deny the fact of the virgin birth. The progressive Christians in the emergent church and others will reject the bodily resurrection of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in a church where there's a question about the infallibility of Scripture, if you're in a church where there's a question about the inspiration of Scripture, if you're in a church where there's a question about the fact that the Scripture is inspired of God, that is the spiration, the breathed out breath of God, find you another church. Find your church where there is a solid, firm belief in the Word of God as being the first, final, and foremost authority. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
Yeah, and we can't forget that we are the church, and we're just worshiping in an expression of our faith wherever we go. But I wanted to mention the lake of fire, Gehenna. You know, actually, when any preacher or expositor of God's word talks about Gehenna, the lake of fire, the valley of Hinnom, they should do so with tears in their eyes, and instead of just glibly throwing out, you're going to hell, or there's a hell, it's a disaster for folks that go there. Tears should be flowing down the preacher's face when they speak of Gehenna, the lake of fire, etc. Thank you.
Absolutely. In fact, I appreciate that call. I have a book that, Lord willing, will be out before the end of the year. It should have been out by the publishers by September, and it's been late because the manuscript's being finalized. But the title of the book is Please Don't Go to Hell. It is on the biblical doctrine of that place called hell. And just as the caller just said, the place called Gehenna, it is the place where a fire is burning day and night. It's outside of Jerusalem. It's the Valley of Hinnom. And another word is Tartarus, and that is talking about that place of fire and brimstone. And just as our caller said, as Christians, we ought not to rejoice in the fact some are going to hell. We need to weep over the fact that there are multitudes that's in hell because they have volitionally chosen to disbelieve the word of God. They've volitionally chosen to reject the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They have volitionally made a choice to say no to Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says the fool had said in his heart, no God. I believe we have another caller. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
I drive a truck locally. My name is Tom. And I use you as my source. Your broadcast is my source of biblical truth. And I know it costs money to keep this on the air. I'm not real wealthy. I drive a truck, but I could do a small amount. I could do $25 a month. Where do I sign up at to do that?
Brother, may your tribe increase. Yes, it is quite expensive to do this radio broadcast. It's not given to us as a donation by the Radio Broadcasting Network. It's what we pay for. It's not something that is free. It's costly. And I am thankful for your call, and may your tribe increase. You can send that, make it out to FCBC, First Conservative Baptist Church, put on their designated radio broadcast ministry, and may others take your, if you please, indication of interest. And if it's a blessing to you that's listening, I invite you to do just as this caller is saying that he wants to do, is subscribe to the underwriting of a small portion of this broadcast ministry each and every month. We encourage that. We invite that. We'd love to have you participate in it so that this might continue. Thank you so much for your call, and may God bless you for that gesture, and may you continue to share the good news of what we're doing on this broadcast with others that they might tune in also. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the question today, are you in a progressive church? And we're giving indications of it. Number one, the Bible is not viewed as the final authority. Number two, feelings rather than facts are emphasized. Number three, biblical doctrines are open for debate, discussion, and reinterpretation. And there are multitudes today that are well-known preachers and teachers across the nation that's simply destroying the Word of God. We need to be warned, ladies and gentlemen, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, the Scripture says, but there were false prophets also among the people, and there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. Verse 2, and many, that's megas, multitudes, shall follow their pernicious, that sinful, shameful ways, by reason of whom the way of truth, that's speaking of Christianity, shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they make merchandise of you, whose judgment now and for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Scripture says that the purpose for these false teachers is to make money, merchandise you, and make profit off you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very dangerous. And the fourth thing is, we'll touch on it, we'll pick up with this on Friday's broadcast, but the fourth issue is, the fourth indication, historical biblical terms are redefined, and the terms like inspiration, canonicity, infallibility, inerrancy, and authority of the Scripture is denied or out and out rejected. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.